partner to deal with Jinko.
Are you all right?
Steel, making it virtually impenetrable. This is just how fanatical Heemeyer is. He's encased it in a concrete shell and an inch of double-plated steel, making it virtually impenetrable. This is just how fanatical Heemeyer is. He's encased it in a concrete shell and an inch of double-plated steel, making it virtually impenetrable. This is just how fanatical Heemeyer is. He's encased it in a concrete shell and an inch of double-plated steel, making it virtually impenetrable.
The fact that he had rifles sticking out basically 3 or 4 sides of that bulldozer showed me that his intent was to use deadly force and in whatever way he could to accomplish his mission.
As Heemeyer continues his rampage, his vengeful plan soon becomes clear.
It was becoming evident to his targeting buildings that were associated with town government of Granby, town board members, the mayor, ex-mayor.
Area SWAT teams arrive to join the battle, but they're helpless as Heemeyer continues to demolish the town. Unable to slow him down, the undersheriff gives the order to evacuate.
Our purpose at that point was just to get as many people as possible out of the town.
But before residents have a chance to flee, Heemeyer turns his assault vehicle toward a propane plant.
It's located near a residential neighborhood, and an explosion here could put hundreds of lives at risk. With time running out, the authorities decide to fight fire with fire. They send in the biggest piece of equipment they can find, a giant scraper, to square off against Heemeyer's bulldozer. It seems to work. Heemeyer veers away from the volatile tanks to meet the scraper's challenge. The two big machines face off. The scraper is no match for Heemeyer's steel-plated monster.
He basically pushed every piece of equipment that we put in his way right out of the way. You know, there was nothing that we had that could have stopped him.
Thankfully, Heemeyer forgets about the propane tanks. But he's intent on causing even more destruction.
I get out of the car and I look up, there was something above the car. And I was so scared, I didn't know what it was. I ran back to the car and she ran back to me, and she got herself crunched under the dashboard. She was so scared, and I was trying to start the car and it wouldn't start. Then the next memory that I had under the hypnosis was that I was on a table and there were some people around.
It's just pulling on my leg.
There was a screen. It was about as wide as a large television screen, but it was paper thin. And it was just moving around the table and it wasn't attached to anything. And I could see three-dimensional shapes of my skull and my, you know, my whole body that was just taking pictures. And it was just this huge spherical room that was just covered with dials. There wasn't space, it was just dials. And I felt like they put like these rubber pants on me or something with things attached. And then they left the room and I lay there and I was asking for my sister and somebody was telling me she's okay, she said she's all right.
Cameras.